We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Been a long time, been doing way too much traveling with work. Now that's out the picture. Don't want to go into that, but oh my God, Ice, it's so wonderful to see your beautiful face. Dice it up is back. Missed everybody, but now new year, we're getting back going. Oh my God, look at the hearts. That was cool. If you're watching on YouTube, we love it. We are in January. This will be published on Wednesday. I believe that is January 10th. And we're recording on Monday, January 8th. And we have an awesome guest, Jamie Steyer Johnson. We're going to be talking some Big 12 hoops, which you know I love. Jamie's always in the thick of it, specifically with Iowa State. Jamie, thank you so much for talking hoops with us and hanging out.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on. I was super excited just chatting with you randomly and then getting invited on here. Super, super excited. I love any excuse to really get into some women's basketball, especially if we're talking Big 12.
Absolutely. So can you tell our listeners just about what you do with Iowa State women's basketball and kind of your background in basketball as a whole?
Yeah. So I'm the analyst for radio broadcast for Iowa State women's basketball. It's my fifth year there. It's been really, really fun just to kind of have that role there because I grew up in the program. My mom is about to finish her 22nd year, I want to say. It's either 21st or 22nd at Iowa State. So she's been there for nearly my whole life. She got hired by Coach Fenley back when he was at Toledo, right out of college. So like, that's the only job she's ever had is coaching. And so I grew up in the program. It was like the best thing to ever happen to me. Absolutely love it. And so I went to school, did the journalism thing, and now I've been there. So I do radio for them. And I also am one of the co-hosts over at the 1012 podcast. So we talk all sorts of Big 12 sports hoops there as well, but never enough for me. So yeah, super, super excited to be here and be able to talk about Big 12. Obviously been a big part of my life, but especially Iowa State, really, really in the blood. And as we were talking about before, you get kind of a little bit of everything when you grew up in Iowa, because I actually married a Hawkeye. So I've got like every Iowa State background you could imagine, you know, my mom and then my brother played on the men's team, like all that. And then I married a Hawkeye. So like I've kind of got the gamut as far as ties to sports here in Iowa goes.
I mean, it's been an exciting last few years, especially in those Iowa State matchups. And I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a down year in the Iowa-Iowa State matchup with Ashley Jones leaving, Lexi Donarski transferring. And it turned out to be one of the best games of the year. And I mean, that kind of goes along with the whole theme of Iowa State surpassing a ton of expectations for such a young team, not having a real idea of what they were going to look like this year. And I don't, Emily Ryan wasn't even playing in that game.
No.
The only, I'd say, real returner with significant minutes. So just from your perspective, let's start there. Being close to the team, what has this season been for you? If you could sum it up in a few words of surpassing expectations, are you surprised with the maturity of the youth? I mean, you could go on and on, but there's so many players that are basically must-see TV at this point with the way they're playing and moving the ball.
Yeah, it's honestly unreal. This was a season unlike any other in, you know, Coach Finley's time at Iowa State for several reasons. Obviously, the amount of new players on the roster, the amount of turnover, because in addition to the freshmen, you've got a couple of transfers. And so that's very, very different. But the amount of youth is very different as well. Not often do you in general have a five-person class, but especially knowing, okay, they're coming in, they're all going to play. I've been saying for over a year now that all five of the freshmen were going to play. So even before we knew that there were going to be a couple people leaving, because there were five people graduating. And so you already knew that, but then you have Lex and Danae deciding to find somewhere else. And so then it just became even more evident, but you know, at least they were already planning on playing them. And then the other part of it is that you have a team that's very forward and center heavy, which is very much not like the usual formula for Iowa State. So you already had all the youth, new people, whatever. And then you're also having a composition that's really different. So I have been beyond blown away. I don't think it could have been handled any better, frankly. I did not know what to expect. I still don't, you know, you try to go in with no expectations, especially for me. Like I'm very emotionally invested, but I'm not the one like out there coaching and playing. So I try to keep my head on straight, but I just have been so amazed with the maturity of the freshmen coming in, especially like you mentioned, Emily Ryan not playing for the beginning of the season changed a lot. And put people into even more different roles than they were anticipating. And they just kind of came in, they showed up every day ready to do whatever was asked of them. And then on the part of the coaching staff, I mean, you've had some years with really, really high expectations from yourself and nationally. And so all of a sudden to have that turnover, to have a really different looking team, to have a really young team, just the fact that they've let them be freshmen, but also not lowering expectations as a result of it, saying, okay, we know what you're capable of as players. We know what you can do. And so we're going to hold you to this high standard, but we're not going to get too down when you do things that freshmen do. Like I had someone reach out to me on Twitter and their comment as someone who doesn't, you know, particularly follow Iowa State or anything, but had just seen them and got interested in the freshmen was, I love how the coaches are letting them play through the quote unquote freshman moments, especially early in the season. And then all of a sudden you get into Big 12 play and they look ready to play. They look really poised. And it's like, well, yeah, that's why you played through those tough ones, especially in games where you build up really big leads and people were spinning out because, oh, you're giving up all these points in the fourth quarter. And that should have been a 30 point blowout. And they only won by 15. It's like, it's still a win and you need to learn sometime. That's what I've been saying is you can't manufacture experience. So It's been wild just to see that because I knew the potential these players had to some degree, but not what they'd be able to do so fast and how well they've meshed.
Hmm. One, thank you for the insight. Cause that's just, it's really awesome to hear up close and personal, like in depth, what that looks like. And then especially the social media aspect, because we know that that also takes a toll And we've seen that already early across the board in women's basketball, social media taking a toll on players and careers and how they're feeling and playing or not playing, et cetera. My first question for you on the lighter side is, like, all of your wardrobe, like, cardinal and gold? Because do you wear other colors? Like, are they your favorite colors? Because I just feel like if you were really born in this, and so that's what you've seen. So, like, tell me, like, does that dominate? Also, I'm saying this, and you have, like, a darker-ish red lip on that could be considered cardinal, just saying. But, yeah, curious.
So, I've got a massive, massive stack of, like, T-shirts and stuff in my closet. I have a lot of Iowa State gear, obviously, like the vintage. I'm real into the vintage. And then I have my mom and I wear the same size in almost everything. So I also can go and just snag whatever I need from her closet. The most important is that we wear the same shoe size. But I have a lot, but then I try to keep it a little bit more neutral when I'm calling games and stuff. So I've got all sorts of other stuff. I also call, like, volleyball for Drake. I started this past season. So you got to be able to switch it up a little bit. But yeah, I've got all sorts of other stuff outside of it. But I've got more Iowa State gear than I probably could conceivably wear in, like, a year. But, you know, you accumulate things over time, for sure.
I love that you said you try to dress neutral on the broadcast, because I learned, like, early that you really have to think about the colors. Mm-hmm. And, like, if someone is blue and white, you cannot go in there with a royal blue blazer and just be neutral. Like, you have to think about these things. So I've started recently, like, coordinating outfits and thinking of colors. And I'm like, orange is too close to red, like that Iowa Ohio State game, this might not be it. I might need to just go with pink. Like, so it's funny that you say that, but I feel like that's just a small thing amongst broadcasters that we do to, like, you know, still
even when I'm team media, like, I'm on the side, I'm on press row, I'm there, so I'm like, all right, you know, like, I'll be professional, but I'm not gonna be wearing, like, my Iowa State sweatshirt, you know.
Yeah That's awesome. Okay.
I mean, I don't follow that. I almost got kicked out of, like, the Liberty media section, I think, or at least one media person wanted to kick me out when I was celebrating. I think it was definitely game three when we were winning. I was going nuts up there, and someone's like, you need to be neutral. And I'm like, you are only here for the playoffs. I'm here all year. but yeah, I don't follow the rules. That's classic of me. But back to Iowa State. You were going to ask something nice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, since we're talking about the team, I think we have to talk about the week that you guys have coming up in the competition. Some really tough stops, probably the toughest week you might see all season, besides an NCAA tournament. So number 24, West Virginia, that's on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. And then right back on Saturday, you followed up with number 4, Baylor, who is, like, the team of the week across the country right now. Sarah Andrews, one of the most dynamic scorers in the country. I don't think she gets enough credit and recognition for what she's doing compared to the Pages and the, you know, Caitlins and et cetera. Mm-hmm. But back to back, that Wednesday, Saturday, top 25 competition, you know, what are you looking forward to and what do you need to see out of your Cyclones?
Oh, man, you know, it's just such a big opportunity. Like, that's a word that I've been using a lot this season when I'm calling games, because that's the thing, is when there's a lot of unknowns, you could say, okay, well, we don't know, you know, this could go poorly. But on the other hand, you have such a big opportunity to show people what you're capable of, what you can do. And so they've started doing that for sure with getting wins, especially close wins, wins on the road, wins in tough environments. But this is the big one here, where you have your feet under you a little bit, and you've kind of seen a lot of different styles already, played a tough non-conference schedule, which does prepare you more for the conference season. Like, I don't think that they win all three of these close games if they hadn't seen tough competition already. But you have ranked competition now. And so it's looked at differently, not by the team, not by the coaching staff, but nationally. And so when you're right on the verge of, I think, really starting to get some of that notice, you're right on the precipice. And so It's really exciting, and especially having them both at home is huge.
I
know that this past week, when Kansas came to town, a midweek game, I'm looking around and it was an incredible crowd. I was really, really impressed. People are taking notice of how fun this team is, that they're pretty dang good. And Iowa is a state where people want to support women's basketball, where people love women's basketball. So, you know, there's been great crowds all year, and obviously the sellout against Iowa, but then to have people really showing up for the start of conference play was big. So now you've gone and you've gotten a couple more wins under your belt, and you have these opportunities with these ranked opponents at home. I'm really excited. I think that the environment's going to be terrific. If maybe people can brave the snow that we're supposed to be getting, especially for Wednesday, but then for Saturday, I know people always have it circled because especially in these past couple of years, Iowa State and Baylor has become an incredible rivalry. You know, it's been really back and forth. So, it's big, and it's gotta be, you know, everyone has to contribute. That's the thing with this team this year, is that it's not always going to be one player. There's a couple players that you know are going to contribute every game, but it's, you know, your leading scorer could be different. Your second leading scorer is almost certainly going to be different. And then third down the list, there's always going to be someone else. So everyone has to be really prepared, especially for a couple games where, you know, West Virginia is going to want to get up and down the court. Baylor plays a lot of people. So if you want to contend with that, it means that the whole roster has got to be ready, and they've proven that they have been thus far. And so I think it's a really good time to have these games where you've won some, you've started to get people kind of noticing, but now you really get to kind of measure yourself against some of the best teams of the conference and say, all right, where are we at, and where can we go the rest of this conference season?
Yeah. And West Virginia, after their first loss, they're going to be fired up.
But everyone has been. Kansas was, you know, that's just gonna be
yeah, I mean, it's gonna be definitely exciting. Definitely going to make my wife drive that stretch on Saturday when there's games all day, and she's gonna be really annoyed when she hears the Iowa State game coming through my phone on the Bluetooth. But talking about some of the players that are delivering every night, one that stands out, Addie Brown, freshman. And I mean, I was looking this up because, you know, her numbers are pretty eye popping. There's only been three freshmen over the last 15 years for hoops that have averaged 15, 5, and 5. She's averaging 15 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Two of those freshmen are having seasons this year. That's Hannah Hidalgo, who everyone is kind of talking about, getting nationally recognized, you know, for her defense, her offense, and the opportunity she's gotten at Notre Dame. Caitlin Clark was in 2020, and then Addie Brown. So she's already putting up some historic numbers. What have you been most impressed by with Addie? And did you already kind of know this coming in? I know, like, you know, with your mom having prior knowledge of Addie, but seeing her in person, what have you been most impressed by?
Man, it's her maturity. You know, that's, I travel with the team to call the games. And so I'm sitting on the plane with my mom after their game out at BYU. And it was tough. It was a great environment. And you know, it was a tight, tight win on the road. And we're sitting there, we're like, she plays not even like a senior. She plays like the super seniors, like the sixth year seniors. Like it is something I have never seen from a freshman. And so she's just someone who, she's going to do what needs to be done to win. And if that's scoring, knocking down shots, she'll do that. If it's passing and finding her teammates, you know, she's had a really great connection with Audie Crooks down low. Mm-hmm. She'll do that. And if it's rebounding, which, you know, it's always rebounding, she for sure will do that. You know, she says, my mom was a big rebounder. Her mom played college basketball. So, you know, that was her thing, is she wasn't always a huge scorer, but she always rebounded. And so that's what she says, is if I don't rebound, I know I'm going to hear about it from my mom. It's not that the coaches are going to get on her, it's that her mom will. So That's a really great mindset. But yeah, I mean, she's extremely mature. She doesn't get shaken. She doesn't get rattled. And so it's really impressive to see a young person able to be at that point this early in their career. And it just leaves so much open for, okay, if that's where you are 14 games in, where can you go to? Because that's the kind of, you know, steadiness that a lot of people aspire to by the time they're done. So that's what's been so impressive to me, is that she's very businesslike. She's very just, you know, eyes forward, eyes on the prize. But then she comes off and she's, you know, super tight with her team. She's a fun kid, you know. It's just, it's a very, very fun thing to see, where the whole group, they're all super tight, but especially her. It's just, the maturity it's astounding.
Mm. Yeah, I tweeted during the game. I think it was because Iowa State built a pretty decent lead, and then all of a sudden, you know, BYU gets it within four with like a minute left, and Addie hits a three, and I tweeted, Addie Brown not afraid of the moment. I tweet some bad things about players, but I'm like a open book. I'm not always positive, because I don't think we should be. I think we should be absolutely equal. Then she immediately commits a turnover the next possession, and then gets fouled, and I'm like, oh man, I wonder if, you know, she's thinking about the turnover. And of course, she makes both free throws. Iowa ends up walking away with a 5-point win in Provo. Exciting player. I loved everything that you said. Have to watch her develop even more. Sky's definitely the limit. And as a Texas fan, I'm not excited to play against a player like that. I mean, when you got a James Harden-esque step back three that's hitting that consistently, I immediately love the player, but you know, I wish she was kind of wearing burnt orange, but that's me. All right. So we definitely covered some Iowa State. Want to talk some other Big 12 teams. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know, who do you think is the most dangerous team in the Big 12? And I think dangerous in terms of, you know, you may not expect it, but if they peak at the right moment, is going to be over for a few folks. And so, like, we're seeing Baylor right now at their peak, right? Undefeated, hooping, leading in statistical categories. You know, we've seen Texas at their peak. And then they're trying to find a new peak right now as their team is figuring out what to do without Rory Harmon. But who do you feel like is the most dangerous team in the league, aside from, you know, your team, if you thought so?
Yeah. So, when I think dangerous, I think, especially if you're looking at long-term, going into the end of the conference season, but then postseason especially, and to be really good there, you've got to be balanced. And so there's a couple of teams in the league that are very, very, very good, that are probably going to be at the top of the league, but they maybe are missing one thing. And, you know, with Texas, it's that, obviously, especially with Rory out, they're thin at the guard core. For Baylor, they don't really have a whole lot of height to them, which is wild considering what Baylor has historically been. But when you look at balance, you've got K-State is about as balanced a team as you could find. And so their big thing has been finding consistency outside of Ayoka Lee, because Ayoka has been so good, way better than I could have, that I think most people could have anticipated coming off of that injury. She's moving better than she was before she was hurt. And, you know, having that full year to rehab clearly did her a lot of good, and play in more minutes than I probably anticipated she'd be able to as well. So that's huge.
I feel like she's on a WNBA push.
Oh, 100%. I said coming into this year that I thought she can come, she can finish out her college career and be really happy with it. But I thought that was probably kind of where it would lead.
Exactly. On. Yeah, exactly. I think she told us all, like, I worked in the off season to get my stock up. And she has, like, I mean, right now, like, the post game across women's college landscape is really deep. You know, we have post players who are extremely versatile doing different things. But she has definitely like pushed her stock. You know, yeah. I'm impressed with how consistent she's been as well. And then their team, tremendous defensively. They hold their opponents to 50 points a game.
Yeah. So yeah.
She's also like defensively, you can tell she's playing both sides of the basketball.
Exactly.
And watching.
Exactly. And so that's where, you know, they have those things, and then they have really great pieces that just haven't always shown up in every game. Mm. But if they can get them to show up consistently, then there's not a team in the country that they can't beat. You know, Serena Sundell's an incredible point guard. She's super versatile. She can do so much. She's tall, she's long, she's athletic. And then you've got the Glenn twins, who are terrifying to go up against on defense, I would assume. I know that watching my own team go up against them is scary. And they've got talent on the bench as well. And some really good young talent. They've got Zanna Walker, they've got Terrence Sides, and then they've got Sanchez, who really can come in, and she gives them a different look when she's coming in at the five. So if they can get everyone kind of hitting, and especially shoot, if Gabby Gregory can get even close to as efficient as she was at times last year, then they're really cooking. But they haven't quite gotten there yet. And so I think that if they continue to push, they just had, I mean, the shooting night of their lives against UCF. They had, you know, one of the Glens went 7 for 7 from the floor. Serena was 10 for 14. Like, that's pretty impressive. So they definitely are intimidating there. And then the other one is kind of a huge question mark now in TCU, where they put together as good of a starting five as you could get from the portal. And that's really good, to be clear. But now Sedona Prince is out until who knows, you know, we're looking at potentially 3-4 weeks, you know, not a real timeline given, but she said she'd be back. But that's the biggest loss on the team. She's the most impactful on both ends of the court. So their ceiling is considerably lower without her. But if she comes back and she is actually healthy, she could shake things up a little bit. Their lack of depth is the other thing that's going to limit them. But, you know, they're not probably going to be making a national championship run, but they could knock someone out that was thinking they could.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call. I agree.
I just, while you were talking about K-State, I went and looked and saw how many times I've tweeted my cats. And I've done it already 8 times this season. I'm obsessed with this team. Absolutely obsessed. I knew expectations for them weren't going to be as high just because they, you know, didn't make tournament last year. They, you know, got, I wouldn't say walked over, but like they started the season off, you know, pretty well. They beat Iowa last year. Obviously the injury, but I think you touched on it, the length of this team. And you see it with the subs that come in too. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone has done a better job on Caitlin Clark than Zianna Walker. I mean, I think that was a absolute defensive masterclass. Mm-hmm. And sure, Caitlin had a much better game. I mean, it's hard to play a team 2 times in a span of like 2 weeks, and you only have like a day to prepare. But I love what Coach Jeff Mitty's done with this team. They look like they're having fun. And yeah, I mean, if Gabby can do just a fraction of what she's been able to do in past seasons, I think sky's the limit.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The limit. It's been my hottest take all year that the Cats are going to win it all. And I hate saying, I mean, I was all Texas, but obviously Rory changes things. Love the Horn still. But this is my team now. I'm all in. I'm all in on the Cats. Only team to hold Caitlin Clark, like her team at Iowa, under 60 points in her entire time at college. And I can anticipate that won't happen again. Iowa is obviously can score the ball. So I'm all in on the Cats. TCU, you nailed it. The depth is just abysmal. I wagered some dollar bills, some big dollar bills on TCU against Oklahoma State without realizing Sedona Prince wasn't playing. And I immediately knew that money was gone forever.
Yeah, forever.
And I mean, it's just like watching them try to score in that second half. It was basically just threes and trying to get to the free throw line. There was like nothing else. And it was, they were chucking. It's like they almost had to come up with a new identity on the fly without Sedona Prince. And I mean, I feel like watching Texas without Rory Harmon, they've been able to do a lot of great things when they've lost their best player. They're finding other ways to score. Other players are stepping up, scoring in different ways. Their defense has, I don't want to say dropped off at all, because they held West Virginia under 50 points. And I think they limited them to three threes, three for 34 or something like that. Incredible. So I do wonder, what do you think Texas's ceiling is now without Rory Harmon? And what do you think this experience is going to do development wise for one of the other best freshmen in the Big 12, Madison Booker?
Yeah. So it's really tough because Texas has a lot of really, really talented players. And I actually talked about this a little bit early on in the season when I was on Mark Schindler's podcast. And I said, you know, the thing with Texas is they've got a lot of great players, but a good chunk of them are playing somewhat out of position. You've got a lot of players that would maybe be a three, a four, maybe a five, that are shifting over a spot or two, especially now with Rory out. So you have to be able to kind of handle being in a different spot and also playing a style that allows them to still succeed. And so that's certainly something that Texas has been able to do. And I think that there's very few teams who are in a position to exploit that very much. And so I don't think that it's going to end up being super, super impactful in Big 12 season, especially if West Virginia couldn't exploit it as far as their guard situation and all that is concerned, then who really is that wouldn't already have been able to compete with them well? I think that it puts Kansas State, again, you know, in a spot where, okay, they might feel even a little bit better about their matchup there. That's going to be a big kind of highlight is the guard matchup. But I think their ceiling is a little bit lower as far as postseason aspirations because there are just, especially this year, there are too many complete teams. And so there are going to be teams who can contend to some degree with their height and who do have a little bit more of the guard depth, because as great as their roster is, at a certain point it's kind of overkill. And that's not to say that any of their players are replaceable, but to have like seven forwards slash centers and to have like three guards, if you're playing mall now, which I guess they are, it takes away a lot from what you have as an option. And so I still think that they have a great chance to be near the top of the Big 12 by the end of the year. You know, top probably two, three, but I think that they could be a early out of the tournament if it's the right matchup. But otherwise, I think that their ceiling is just a little bit lower. You know, they very well still could be like an Elite Eight team. I just don't think they're probably a Final Four team. And I would probably feel pretty different if Rory was still playing.
I think that's what it is, right? Is like Rory not playing. But I think in looking at their team, it's built around Rory being Rory.
Yes.
You know, and then the supporting pieces you need, the bigs to rebound, to deter you from block coming into the paint, the shooters on the outside to knock down shots and continue to spread the floor so she can do what she wants. And so when I thought it, when she went out, I thought about like, what other player across the country affects a team as much from this position and how they play? Mm-hmm. And it's Hannah Hidalgo. Mm-hmm. I was like, if Hannah Hidalgo right now had to sit a game for Notre Dame, they would become 10 times slower on both sides of the basketball. Because
they would have less turnovers, though. I'm playing. Hannah Hidalgo's amazing.
It's okay. But yes, and that, listen, that's a consequence, right, of pace and players, right? She turns the ball over. She also gets it back at the highest rate of anybody else in the country.
For sure.
You know? But the same goes for Rory, right? And so I think it's just an example of teams that are built around one dynamic player that's dynamic on both sides of the basketball that controls the pace. And now I feel like for Texas, that's my biggest concern is like, can their pace still be the same? Can they still be as dynamic defensively with these bigger, have to be slower lineups?
Yes.
And does the execution change because now you need to rely on your size more? You can't rely on someone being so dynamic. Like Shea Gonzalez is good, guys, but she's not the comparison of playmaking ability that really is, you know?
Yes.
And that's giving Shea a ton of credit because this is the second time she's had to step in and kind of, you know, filled this void. And I know it just, Dano and I chatted with her. It just was not the expectation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But a credit to her for being one of those players to share that role and fill that void.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I also didn't address like Madison Booker, you know, she stepped in and she's running a lot of the point there. And so it's going to be really big for her development. It's going to make her more comfortable with the ball in her hands. It's going to really hone her decision making. But in the meantime, there's going to be some bumps in the road. Like that is, she's not a point guard. Like she is extremely talented, but at the end of the day, she's not a point guard. That is not the position you would prefer to have her in. And so just because it's one of your best options right now doesn't mean that it's long-term the best option, but it does mean that, you know, eventually when Rory is hopefully back next season and stuff like that, she's going to be someone who can be a better, crisper off guard when she's able to move back to her natural position. But they are going to need the whole cast to kind of rally around her and to be able to help her out and make sure that, okay, you know, she can't have the weight of the world on her shoulders. And so it's going to be really interesting because she's a very talented, capable player that I already thought was playing maybe a little bit out of position. I think she'd be really, really good as like your three or four. And being able to kind of get those mismatches potentially based on her skills on the perimeter as well as her strength and her length inside. But then she's playing at the two and now all of a sudden she's playing at the one as well. And so, she can get some mismatches, but also she's going to struggle a little bit defending on the perimeter at times. She's going to struggle sometimes under pressure. So it's going to be a big positive for her long term. But there's going to need to be a little bit of grace from, you know, from fans, from anyone watching just to understand the situation. And that's the thing is that Texas is still so good that they're still going to win a lot of games. So it's not like, oh, well, she's going to be the difference between all these wins and losses. Like she is a huge difference maker, but it's not on her to make or break the season.
Yeah. I mean, I if you would have asked me, what are the odds Texas goes into Morgantown and wins by 21? I would have said, 1,000 to 1. Like, there's no way that happens. Just with like the type of team that West Virginia has, how they thrive on pressure, and Texas controlled the game the entire time. And I think, you know, some of the points you're making about the turnovers that Madison has and will continue to have are going to be there. But the other thing that I think was also great for her coming, you know, as a freshman was when you have Rory out there, she's drawing probably your toughest guard defender.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is definitely going to be put on Madison. So even more of an opportunity. I mean, like you brought that up with Iowa State and what they have this weekend. And then I'm coming to the realization right now that Texas is playing Kansas State on that same day that Iowa State is playing Baylor. This is going to be a terrible upcoming Saturday for me. Stress, anxiety, maybe some financial anxiety. We all know what I do. But just those games being an hour apart is just not fair to the viewer. Big 12 be better. Just saying. I do want to give some grace to some of the other teams in the conference and touch on them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had too many chances to watch some of the other teams. Obviously you watch BYU, but there's, Cincinnati, OU, they played, this weekend, UCF, they also played against OU this weekend. UCF played against Kansas State.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the other teams I am blanking out on. The Cowgirls, who got a win at TCU, but I can probably put an asterisk on that. You got to see them up close and personal. I loved them last year. They were a crazy second half away from taking down Miami. I think they were up 19 in the NCAA tournament. That was a horrible, horrible letdown. But I do love what Coach JC does. I think she's a great coach. I just think her offense thrives when she has a playmaking guard who can also shoot. And I think that's kind of what they're missing this year with the inconsistency of Anna Gradassi. But I think she's still great. What do you think that team is still missing right now?
I mean, what they're really missing is some of their players that they had to start the year that they no longer have, right? Yeah. Had Chandler Prater going down to a season-ending injury with her Achilles. That is a tough blow. And then I can't even begin to speculate, like I wouldn't either way, but you've had a couple players step away from the team in some capacity. Yeah. Kennedy Fondelroy announced that she's not coming back. Brandon Jackson played fairly limited minutes early, but very early on. She was injured, presumably, and then hasn't been around the team either. So that's really tough because now you're contending with a lack of depth on top of everything else. And so that changes things a lot. You've got a couple of freshmen that just aren't quite ready to step into bigger roles. And then you've got Staley Hurd, who absolutely has been. And then I don't think that this is going to end up playing a huge role, but I don't know if you guys saw this. We did because we were their first game in Big 12 play. In between semesters, Oklahoma State went back into the portal for people who didn't find a landing spot. And Emily Ebert from Kansas State is now on their roster. So she's there. She played a lot of basketball. And she started a bunch of games for K-State. Not a huge scorer, but hey, she'll practice. She's a body. She's suiting up. So that's at least another player that they can put in the game that has experience. But
so they're allowed to play, like even if you pick up a – that's wild. NCAA is crazy.
Yeah, because she never ended up anywhere. So she entered within the correct time frame. And she had graduated from K-State. And so it was that at semester, they could enroll her. And so they were able to go in and say, hey, what are you doing? You want to come on down? So yeah, she's going to be with them for the rest of the semester. So especially when you don't have the numbers to even be practicing 5-on-5,
right?
That makes a really big difference.
I mean, I'm thinking of like a storyline script here of a player just looking, they're in their graduate transfer year and they're like, all right, which team has the best shot of, taking it this year? I mean, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, I'm all about the players, like let them do whatever they want. I love it. Cool. I had no idea that was happening. That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know that she's played in a game yet, but like she's suited up, she's on the bench, she's there. And so even just having like the maturity there, someone who's been there before, especially when you have someone like Staley Hurd, who's a freshman, who's playing so many minutes, doing so much for them. The fact that Ebert has been in the conference, and, you know, has been there, has seen things. That's really big to have her as well as Garzon and Assis, since they did have a ton of turnover from last year. Just to have kind of that presence is, I think, huge for them. So that's it's very interesting. Not that, you know, she'll probably be on the court a ton, but it's certainly something. But yeah, I don't know. They've got some solid pieces, but they're just not quite there yet. I mean, Adegret is, I love her. Same. I love her game. But she's not a point guard. So that's, you know, that's just kind of tough there. I think that I would love to see in situations where they're not getting pressured a whole lot, I would really like to see Quincy Noble maybe handling the ball a little bit more and initiating some of the offense to allow Anagret to move off ball some. But I also understand why they prefer to have her in the off guard position. I just think, hey, you know what, at this point, like, why not change it up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, expectations aren't like super crazy, but I definitely don't see them beating teams like Texas this year.
No,
I'm trying to think if they had any other big 12 wins last year. I think they beat Oklahoma once, but obviously this Oklahoma team is a lot different than previous years. You lose a player like Maddie Williams and Taylor Robertson, it's going to be tough, especially in that system. I had the privilege of wagering money and watching them miss 27 straight threes. It brought back Houston Rockets game 7 Golden State Warriors memories. It was tough. But enough about that. A little of the final questions. Iowa State, like you said, played a great non-conference schedule. They played teams like Syracuse, Vanderbilt, Drake, Iowa. Outside of like Caitlin Clark, who is obviously a awesome player to watch live, who are some of the other team or players from across the country that you really enjoyed getting to see up close and personal?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think I first want to say how we knew that, okay, this was going to be a tough non-conference, especially going out and knowing, all right, you're playing some high major schools at your Thanksgiving tournament, which usually your expectation is you'll play like one high major and one mid major. And that's not how it panned out since you and I was out there. But I don't think that most people anticipated how well Syracuse and Vanderbilt were going to be playing to this day. I've been really impressed with them on the whole.
Yeah, go Orange. Go Orange.
They've been so impressive. But I mean, when you look at the kind of rosters they have, the kind of players they have, it's not that shocking. But man, Deja Fair is incredible. I've talked a lot recently with various people about like the kind of killer instinct that some players have, some players don't. You know, you can be an extremely high level player, but maybe not have just that know-how, that grit where, okay, whatever has to be done, I'm going to do it. And Deja Fair absolutely has it. The supporting cast she has around her is really impressive. Georgia Woolley, she's kind of been up and down a little bit, but when she plays to her capabilities, she is an extremely dynamic player. She's really fun to watch. She's got good length to her. And then obviously when you're talking about Adija Fair, when you're talking Syracuse, and then when I also mentioned Vanderbilt, what am I going to do but mention Jordan Cambridge? I mean, gosh, she is. She was so impressive as well. That was a team that is young and was missing their first team all Big 12 point guard, struggling a little bit against really, really talented, mature guard led teams. Mm-hmm. All right. Understandable. But I mean, she was incredible as well. They are so, so fun to watch. Really enjoy that. And then I am at my core, a big fan of post play. And so, I really enjoy a good post player. And so it's been fun just to see the diversity, which I know you kind of mentioned, there's so many really good post players doing it in different ways. And so that's part of what I'm so excited with in this Big 12 slate this year, where you have a lot of very, very different kinds of post players. You have Ayoka Lee, who I will continue to say I absolutely adore. I'm hoping to see Sonna Prince back on the court because I was really excited to see her against high level competition. Yeah. She obviously took a huge step forward, even with the lack of really big high level competition in their non-conference slate. What she was doing was still, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of what we mostly saw at Oregon. Her presence is a lot of the reason why the rest of their offense was able to open up so much, why we might see Madison Connor struggle a little bit more without her there to suck the defense away. But really, really like her. And then obviously Texas has a whole laundry list of people that can succeed inside. And then even at Baylor, Jarana Edwards is so fun for, you know, being a little bit undersized height wise, but just the talent and her determination. You know, she is very much a willing her team forward, willing herself to do things.
It's crazy.
She's brilliant. So those are all really, really fun. And then, hey, even, you know, teams like you and I, they had one of the toughest non-conference schedules in the country. And I think had really high aspirations, but lost their preseason Missouri Valley Player of the Year in Grace Buffelli partway through. So that really hurt, and she's not back yet. But Maya McDermott is their leader. She lit us up in Hilton, had the absolute game of her life, set a career high after tying it against us the year before. You know, she's a heck of a player, but she's really fun to watch. Coach Fenley said, he's like, we basically used our game plan from Caitlin Clark on Maya McDermott. Like, that's how we traded her today. Wow. And she lived up to that. And she just, she's not going to do it every game. But when she's on, boy, she is on. She can shoot it. She can handle the ball. Against us, she was going inside. She was coming outside. Like, I think she is a very, very fun player. And again, you know, she's a local kid. She's from Iowa. So there's been so many players that I've been really lucky to watch in person and will continue to be able to see them. So it's man. And then not even getting into all the freshmen, you know, going out to BYU, seeing Kaylee Woolston, seeing Amari Whiting, like what they did. I was really impressed. I didn't expect Amari Whiting to be where she is now yet. To really be leading that team, to show the kind of composure that she did in that close game late. You know, she's coach's kid. So
we know how
that goes a little bit. You know, she knows the game. She's got a good high IQ, but no, I mean, there's, I could go on for the next hour and like name a guy, but it's been really, really fun to watch.
Love that. Love that. We thank you. Where can, if we want to listen to you call games, where can our listeners do that? Sirius.
It's through our local affiliates, but then it's also on the Varsity Network. So we're a Learfield affiliate. So you can use the Varsity Network app. You can also go just onto cyclones.com. If you go into the schedule, they always link the online broadcast on there. So make it pretty easy for you. And then we're back recording weekly on the 10-12 podcast as well. So you can find me over there talking, you know, Big 12 basketball, whatever.
Love that. We'll add some links in there, and I'll make sure to go listen to the 10-12. I can't believe I wasn't already. Shame on me. But I gotta drive 30 hours to New York this weekend. So I'm going to be really annoying. I mean, my wife loves hoops, but she loves watching, probably not as much listening. So, she's going to get a full douse of the 10-12 this weekend.
There you go.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us, talking hoops.
I just wanted to say I will see you soon. I have I thought I would see you soon, but I'm not going to see you soon.
You just pump fake live on the pod.
Just pump fake. Yeah, I'm sorry. We got to cut this part. So sorry. But yeah, right. I literally
manifesting.
Yes,
I'm manifesting sometimes.
I was looking and I was like, I have an Iowa game. And I couldn't remember which one. And I couldn't remember which one. So I was like, let me go and double check. And it's not coming up. And I was like, oh, no, it's the other one. I was checking.
Well, Ice, we just gotta make a trip out to Ames. I've been telling a good buddy of mine that I'm gonna make it out there for a game, and now that we know Jamie, we got to go. We got to see the most exciting freshman core in the nation, probably. Got to see it. But thank you again. And yes, we're manifesting. I's calling a game. Then it's going to be a really tough decision dilemma for me. Which one do I do? You know, listen to? I don't want to think about that. Problem for future me. But yes, Big 12 Wednesday and Saturday. Get ready, people. And catch Jamie. We'll post all her links below. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Really appreciate it.